Welcome to Above the Clouds second installation. We are looking here at teachings of the Bhagavatam in order to apply them. Last time I left you with three tasks which we extracted from the Bhagavatam. Read or hear every day something of Krishna, therefore read at least for 5 minutes. Second, have in some ways association of a devotee. The best is you discuss spiritual insights with them, which you can do also on the phone. And the third was every day sing the holy names of the Lord. Sing in such a way that you sing for Radha and Krishna, who are there in the holy name themselves. Now, today, let us explore the next text that looks at the transformation of desire. I quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his lotus feet. And even though such a person does not aspire for it, that shelter will satisfy all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy." This is from the 5th canto, 19th chapter, text 27. We will look at this text and how Krishna helps us to transform our desires a little bit later. But first, let us ask the question, what are desires really? Well, desires are impulses that come before any action which we do. Without desires, you would not have made the step to come into Krishna consciousness. Without desires, those of you who are married would not have married. Without desires, those who have stayed single would not be single or monks at this moment. Desire is extremely powerful. In fact, in the Gita, Krishna makes it clear that this world rests on desires. One of the Upanishads says, "As a person's desire is, so is his destiny. For as his desire is, so is his will. As his will is, so is his deed. And as his deed is, so are its consequences, good or bad." Now, desires are on three levels. Desires to satisfy the senses. I call these surface desires, when the mind just connects with the impulses and wants of the senses. Then come desires that define who we are. A musician, for instance, a monk, a cook. These come from a deeper level, from deep sanskaras. And then there are still deeper desires, desires for transformation, and they originate from the soul or the super soul, or are super soul inspired? We will think there must be more to life. I'm not satisfied of what I have with what I have become so far. Now, if you remain unconscious of desires, they will dictate your life. You will feel drawn most likely to the surface desires who have a very, very great impact. They are very immediately, they are very loud, so to say. And then when you look back after, let us say, 20 years of your life, you would say, what became out of me? You have been pushed by desires that did not serve your highest, or let us call them deepest, aspirations. The problem with desires at our stage is that we are divided souls. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told it very out front. He said, we are somewhere between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Meaning that just like Prahlad, we have saintly desires, and just like Hiranyakashipu, we have very material desires. Some of them are really bad desires. So, if you want to do something with your desires, you need to understand the process of how your desires form within you. The ones which are helpful as well as the ones which are not helpful. First is the state of thinking. We could call this the gestation state of desires. We become aware of a possibility. It could be possible for me to eat an Italian pizza. Then a wish emerges. At this stage, however, you are still detached, and you may or not go in the pizzeria. Then comes, however, the next state. If you don't check the gestation process, it's the feeling. We start to want something. It's an emotional awareness. An emotion is attached to the thought. What will be nice to eat a pizza with my friends. I can make sure it's absolutely vegetarian. And from that forms a want, willing, an intention or firm resolve to make something happen for real, a commitment where we are relentlessly dedicated to our goal without allowing any hesitation or reservation to dominate our mind. We go for it, willing. Now, it is interesting, once you know how our desires form, you can transform desires. Let me take you to this process of transforming desires. The first level was thinking. I could think there's a possibility for me to become self-realized. There is a possibility to become a pure lover of Krishna. At that time, you need to strengthen your thought a little bit. Therefore, reading or hearing about Krishna or the lives of great souls who did it is very important. And then you can attach to this awareness of a possibility, something which is stronger, feelings. These feelings become strengthened when you have contact with those who have feelings. These feelings, once they are stronger, will naturally move you to form an intention, a sankalpa, a commitment, and then you will be dedicated firmly without any, or at least much, hesitation. And once Krishna becomes aware of this, he will help, especially if you turn to him and pray for help. In the purport of this wonderful verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, "A devotee may at first desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it." The Lord says, he's engaged in my service, but he still wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Such a devotee who asks for poison instead of nectar, he is like that person who says, "Give me poison," rejects the nectar. But I'm experienced. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? It would be better for me to give him the shelter of my lotus feet. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very nice point regarding this. He says, those who desire mixed things are like Dhruva, but Krishna gives them his lotus feet nevertheless. And he gives an example. Just as a father gives the child sugar candy, though the child does not want it, and that way makes the child giving up eating dirt, so the Lord gives the devotee his lotus feet, and that way the devotee gives up material endeavors. We can only say, in this beautiful verse with this wonderful translation, that is the special mercy of the Supreme Personality, who helps his devotee make his desires come to the best fruition possible. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.